extend Christian greetings to each one present this morning as we've been worshiping thus far and in the thinking of some of the songs is nearer, still nearer, I surrender all. The Sunday school lesson on repentance. And repentance is, it is a momentary act when we repent and turn our hearts over to the Lord. But then we live a life of repentance. We continue to repent and stay up to date with God. And as we look at Psalms 26 for a message this morning, we're going to see a man who talked about that and how he stayed in touch with God, how he realized that he was reflecting the image of God. Some months ago, our church gave the ministry a weekend in a cabin. And so we were in a cabin there in southern Lancaster County. And as we looked out in the porch, there was a small pool, but it was a pretty big pool, a pond. But as we walked around that pond, and the water was still, and we walked around it several times, and we'd look in, and as I looked across, I saw the water reflecting. The water was still. The water was calm. And the water was true to reflecting the image around it. And that's what we are here, reflecting the image of God. And as I stood there and looked at the still water, and there was a group of, at one time, plants apparently grew up out of the water and came up to whatever, I'm going to say, because maybe 4 or 5 feet above the water, but then the plant died, and half of them fell over on the bank, and the other half fell all down in the water. And as the water stood there calm and still, truly reflecting, and as I looked across and I saw those dead twigs laying on the side of the pond, and I looked in the water and I saw those twigs reflected in the pond. And as I went around, I saw leaves, and I looked at the tree, and I saw the leaf looking on the water. I saw the leaves, and I looked up. Yeah, the trees, the leaves were above, but the water was still and calm, reflecting the image that was around them. And as I could try to figure out, and not try to figure out, but as I looked at the mystery of God, and I saw God in that pool, and it reminded me of you and I, who are made in the image of God. We're created in the image of God to reflect the image of God. Psalms 46:10 says, so that the world be still and know that I am God. Why are we, as born-again believers, repented, living fresh, repented lives on a daily basis? When we fail, we repent again. That don't mean we never fail. But when we fail, we repent again. And we continue. But as a child of God, made in his image, and we reflect the image of God. And Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Why are you and I are gifted with the privilege to be made in God's image and reflect him? And that verse then gives us the reason that we, as children of God, reflecting the image of God, so that the world will know I am God. That is why you and I are here. And that is an awesome privilege, men, friend, brethren, and sisters, that we have granted that privilege, and God created us in his image, given us the privilege and the ability to reflect him, that a world will know, that the world will know. And as you sang and you lifted your offering for outreach, and as we pray regularly for Bradford and the privilege that this church was given to I was going to say land here. You know, find a home here in a city and then given the privilege to reflect God and all that you've done over the years of being faithful to God's word and reflecting God in the things that Delton already mentioned and the things that you do. Just the little gifts that you do for people, and that we are faithful in reflecting the image of God. And as that water stood calm and still, even though the winds may blow, and the later in the day as we walked around that pond, and then the wind was blowing a little more, and the trees were shaking a little, but the water still stood there still and calm, true to the reflecting the image above it. And that's the challenge for you and I as a child of God on a daily basis, to stay calm. Even when the winds of life blow, we are surrendered. We're nearer, still nearer. We are resigned. Even though we feel at times our strands are all tangled, life seems to not be put together, and life is kind of stormy. And even amidst that, we know that God is God. And we know that He called us to be here amidst the storm, to stand calm, to reflect the image of God. Turn with me to Psalms 26 as we look at David, and how David talks about reflecting the image of God, or he examined himself, and he lived an examined life with power, purpose, and praise. And that's what you and I can do as well as we go through this chapter and see how David examined his life. And he found the power to reflect the image of God. He found the purpose. And he saw the purpose and knew that the purpose was outside of himself. And yet it included himself. And then because of that, his faithfulness, he could praise God. That is awesome, brethren and sisters. Let's read the chapter at this time. Judge me, O Lord. I'll back up there. You're going to notice six I haves, and we're going to notice the past, present, and future. As we live our lives, we need to blend the past, present, and future together and keep that harmonious. That's what helps us to be calm and still in the midst of storms and reflect the image of God. We know where we came from. We know who we are in God. We know who we are now in God. And we're looking forward. And that joy of looking forward gives us the purpose to, in the now, thankfulness for yesterday, grateful for today, and the purpose of looking forward. And that gives us the purpose now in the middle of the storm, when the storm of life, when life is not all neatly and the strings are tangled, and we want to put it together and follow that as I read. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with the dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of the evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. As we look at these verses, David starts out, judge me. He is opening himself to the Lord. Lord, here I am. One of my friends of the past, always I heard him say, you know, the only life that's worth living is the examined life. Well, David is examining his life. He's opening his life to God. And he's saying, judge me, O Lord. I have walked in mine integrity. To the best I could, Lord, I sought to be obedient to you. I sought to know your laws. We were reading out of Ezra, and I know I jump a little bit, but Ezra, as he talks in Ezra 7:10, Ezra prepared his heart, he studied the law, he taught it, and he lived it. He prepared his heart. He set himself fully surrendered, as we sang this morning. And David is doing the same thing. He prepared his heart. God, I am focused on you. I have nothing that I claim to me except I want to be yours. Then he studied the law. He read the law. He looked at the law. You and I have the law before us. And we read it and we understand it so that when we're at work or wherever we are and a situation comes loose, the Lord can, oh, remember last week you read, be calm and still. And then you can draw on that and be calm amidst the storm. And the unsaved people around you will look at you and say, you're reflecting the image of God. And that's what we're to do. He prepared he sought the law. Then he taught it. He talked about it. I don't think you could be around Ezra or David without knowing that they read the law and they knew the law and they talked about it. They didn't know what else to talk about. No matter what they were doing, even if they were working on what we would say they were fully at work. And, you know, our Christian life needs to shine 24/7. That's what David is saying here in Ezra. I live for you, Jesus, 24/7. Not just Sunday morning and not just Wednesday evening. 10 o'clock on Monday morning when it's stormy at work, I'm shining for you. Your principles apply. And I will live them. And I will apply them. And then then he talked about them. And then he lived it. And David is doing the same thing. I have walked in mine integrity. God, you can examine me. I'm open before you. To the best of my knowledge, I walked with integrity. And I know we might say, because if we study the life of David, it was not perfect. My life isn't perfect. Your life isn't perfect. God is not asking us for a perfect life. He's asking us to just give his all. And what makes David shine as a man of God and after God's own heart is when he did fail, he repented. Repentance was a continuing thing in his life, not just a once and done. And repentance in your and my life is not a once and done. It's a continual way of life. When I falter, I respond. I repent. I make amends. And, And integrity means I know what's right. I walk in my integrity. Integrity is knowing that God is God, and God created me, and God is living in me, and I know what is right, and I know how to live what is right, not because I'm so wonderful, but because God is in me and I in Him. We're giving our heart and life to Him, and are that divine nature that is in God through the Holy Spirit lives in you and I know right from wrong because I studied God's Word, and I will choose to do what is right. Mine integrity, I know right from wrong, and I will do what is right. The integrity of my heart. I have trusted also in the Lord. David is going on to say, I've trusted in you. I included you. When I failed, I come back to you. And I repented. And I sought forgiveness in Psalms 51. And when he sinned, he went about amending his ways and offering healing if and when he hurt somebody. Or his influence was negative and he went about to repair it and sought good into where he failed. And that's what makes him a man after God's own heart. I have trusted also in the Lord, and therefore I shall not slide. See, he knew who he was in God. He knew who God was. He knows who he is now, and he knows where he's going. So he is confident that I will not slide. Now you're going to say, oh, a little turn of security here. No, but you and I, as a child of God, the Holy Spirit within us, we don't prepare to slide. We don't prepare to do wrong. And then if we do wrong, we repent. But we are purposed and our heart is set. And we don't slide. And then what keeps him from sliding in verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, the core of me, the very heart of me, not the part that's pumping the blood and so forth, but my mind, will, and emotions, the soul within me that lives for eternity and will live, is living now and will live for eternity. When this body dies, my soul will go on to be with the Lord. So examine me and prove me, Lord. I'm okay for you to set some things in front of me that are not really what I would like. But if you want to walk me through that, you've got the bigger picture in mind. And when God leads you and I through stormy seas, He always has in mind more than just the healing and the growth that it will give you to go through a stormy sea. But as you shine for Jesus amidst the storm, and people around you back up and say, look what they're going through, and look how they're responding. They see Jesus. They see Jesus. So the stormy seas that you will walk through are not only for you, they're to mirror God to the people around you. Some of the people around you at work and so on, they've never read their Bible. Maybe they read it at Easter. Maybe they read it at Christmas, and that's all they have. But they see you, and you are a walking Bible. You're a walking message. And David is saying, examine me, O Lord, prove me, try my reins and my heart. For I'm willing and open. Then verse 3. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes. God's love, kindness, and God's love and mercy that was extended to David is before my eyes. As I study your law, I keep it before my eyes. And the Holy Spirit keeps it in my mind. So constantly, I have it before me. God is loving and He is kind. His promises are true. And we could go on and on in that. But mine eyes, for I have walked in thy truth. I have. Well, he already did, and he is. Where are you and I in our walk? We can say the same thing as David. I walked in thy truth. Well, now he goes on to explain what he did to show evidence that he walked in God's truth. In verse 4, "For I have not sat with vain persons. I kept myself out of the wicked world." You and I, the world is getting so dark. We're living in an ugly cesspool. Everywhere we go, it's evil abounding in every hand. But we can be in it, but not of it. And the darker the world gets, the more brighter you and I shine as a child of God. "I have not sat. When I seen sinners wallowing in sin, I turn the other way and I go and I walk away from it. I don't sit with them. I don't pretend and to be there. I don't sit with them. I don't spend time with them. Neither will I go with the dissemblers." The hypocrites, that would be hypocrites, people who maybe pretend to be a Christian. And sometimes they look pious and nice, but yet as a whole, they're not given over to God. The hypocrites, the evildoers. Then it goes on in verse 5, "I've hated the congregation of evildoers," the people who sat together and talked about evil and schemed evil and planned evil. In the world you and I live, there is so much evil scheming and planning going on in the world around us, from the government to the church to the community. Everywhere you tend, Satan has people who will sit there and they plan and they look at this. How can we make a ban against those Christians? Well, that was done, go through the Bible, that was done all through the Bible. Go back to the Old Testament. Time after time, you saw people scheming against the children of Israel, scheming against building a wall, just on and on. Why wouldn't they scheme against you and I today as we're building the walls for Jesus Christ to shine for Him and bloom for Him and mirror Him in a lost and dying world? That when the unsaved people see you and I, we're like a little pool. And after a sunny rain, and there's a little pool, and they walk by, and they see the reflection. And they walk by you and I, and they rub shoulders with us, maybe just a little bit. And they see you. You're different. Not to pat yourself on the back, but you're reflecting Jesus. And you should be different. They should be able to know and feel the very countenance, your very presence. And I'm sure you've been with me in times where you walked up to groups of people and conversations were going on, and for whatever reason you walked up and not a word said. And they knew by your presence, and you didn't say a word, they knew their conversation and your presence didn't go like this. The spirits were jabbing. The spirits were not blending. And then this change has happened to me, and I'm sure that's happened to you. And that's fine. That's what it should. At times we don't need to say a word. Sometimes we just say a word or two. But sometimes it's not. But the very presence, the spirit within us and the spirit within the unsaved don't mesh. And they that nurtures. So he hated the conversation of the evildoers. "I will not sit with the wicked." He goes on to explain, you know, what he's done and the things he's done and the things that you and I should do. "I will wash my hands in innocency." Yeah, I will come. How does he wash his hands in innocency? None other than knowing the Word of God and understanding the Word of God and then living the Word of God. With his time, energy, money, everything he had, he folded it, he handled it, that it would mirror God. He spent his money wisely. He invested his time wisely. He offered, used his money wisely rather than negative. And just, we could go on and on. And the opportunities that you and I have, and we examine ourselves. So I will compass thine altar, O Lord. So I will bring into my very being your Holy Spirit, which enables me to stay away from the wicked and to compass, be a part of me. And it's so much a part of me. We sang this morning, be careful, little hands, what you do, so that my hands will honor God. How I use my hands, that action, what my hands do, will honor God. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. What am I looking at? What am I spending my time looking at? So my eyes, be careful, little eyes, what you do. Your eyes are Jesus. They're God's. Use them for Him. Ears, be careful, little ears, what you hear. What are you listening to? Everything that your ear hears, your heart either says, nay, 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 or yeah, don't worry. So does the core of you, of who you are, will control what you listen to. And the minute you hear ungodly things, you will know, oh, the Spirit will say, now you didn't sin because you heard wrong. You didn't sin because you saw some evil. If you didn't partake in that evil, you didn't sin. We only sin when we yield to the temptation. We hear the wrong thing. Oh, I like that. So we go over to that evilness and we kind of sit there. And we wallow in the evilness. The Spirit says, no. You know that's wrong. And it's over there. You go over here. Where are you here? I love you, Lord Jesus. I better not say it. Anyway, that your heart is saying that. I love you, Lord Jesus. And then you live it, and the people will see that. Verse 7, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving. I will publish. Nothing other than David is thankful for his relationship with Jesus Christ, what God means to him, and I will publish, and that's all I can talk about. You meet me here, you meet me there, you meet me in the pulpit, you meet me on the street, you meet me anywhere else. God is what I talk about. It's God's principles within my heart. I will publish. I will talk about. We can't change the fact that we are images. Yeah, we're images of God. But that we're creatures of influence. The fact that we are eternal beings, we're creatures of influence. We are always influencing other people. What are they hearing? As I publish, you hear, you know me. You live around me. You see how I spend my time. You see how I spend my money. You see how I... Do I live in $1 million house or just $100,000 house? Do I come here? Did I come here this morning in $100,000 car? Or did I come in a little Nissan? You know who I am. I know the Bible says that only God can read our hearts. I don't differ with the scripture because I know that's very dangerous. But as a congregation, as family, as a church of God, you know each other's heart. Just simply by how they spend their time, you know where most of their time goes. You can see how they spend their money. And you can look at their way of life. And you can read a lot more in their heart. And that's all the heart. See, if my heart has to say, yes, spend this. You got $100, spend it this way. You got 2 hours. Invest it this way. My heart has to agree with that. And my heart will agree with what I do. So we're publishing our voice of thanksgiving. And we're thankful for what God has done for us. And what we are blessed by the family of God. And then I will tell of all thy wondrous works. So that he finished that statement. I will tell of thy wondrous works. I will talk about it. Then he goes on in verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. He loved to come to the house of God. He loved to come to hear the word preached. He loved to come to hear the word sang. He loved to come to youth meetings. He loved to hand out tracts. He loved things that published God and showed God to a lost and dying world. And the place where thine honor dwelleth, the honor dwelleth in the house of God. He dwells here. Not only here, basically dwells within us, but as we gather in the house of God, as Delton already said, we were living throughout this week and we rubbed shoulders with the world and we were bumped around in the world and we come together to be revived, to be refreshed. And the place where thine house, where thine honor dwelleth, he dwells here. This is one of the places where we come to honor and feel the very presence of God. Verse 9, gather not my soul with the sinners. He is here. He's not off golfing or something else on a Sunday morning. He's with God's people. He comes together with God's people. And I gather not with the soul of sinners. And I don't mean you can't be somewhere else, but we need to stay focused. Where am I spending my time? Who are my closest friends? Are they people that their will and way is focused on God too? Because it rubs off on me. I influence them and they influence me. And we need to gather. He gathered not, nor my life with the bloody men. Men who are selfish. Men who are self-focused. And he didn't go to them would be that are out to devour people rather than build people up. In whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. Their hand, they're full of mischief. Again, back to earlier, where they sit and they scheme against God. And he's saying, I avoid those people. I gather not with them. I stay away from them. And their hand is full of bribes. It's all about me, you know. About me, pat me in the back, do this. It's all about me rather than about God. Now he moves forward in verse 11 to I will. He said, I have things he's done, now I will. He's looking forward because he has done and have did, now I will. And that, see, so he's past and present, prepare him for the future. And he can move into the future with confidence. And you and I can. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Because he has walked in his integrity. And he saw the benefit of it. Now I will. I'm recommitting, David is saying. And we all this morning, as we gather together here, I will walk in my integrity. I know who I am. I know where I come from. I know where I'm going. And I can do it in confidence. Not proudly, but in a confidence that I walk with power, purpose, and praise. The answer and the praise is the message that goes out to the other people. Our power of influence. And we have it, whether we want it or not. We're influencing in one way or another. I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me. So he recognizes that when I fail, when I don't quite hold up to the truth and I'm not all I should be, redeem me, Lord. Speak to my heart. I'm listening. And redeem me and be merciful unto me. Oh, the mercies of God that he extended to you and I. And we can come back to him. And when we when our foot would slip or does slip, instantly we're reminded it was wrong, and instantly we respond in correction. Then verse 12, my foot standeth in an even place. My feet stand, I stand firm, anchored on God's word. I know his law, I know who he is, and I know who I am. And my foot stand on an even. And even though the my relationship with Jesus Christ. I stand in an even place in the congregation. See, so he's again bringing himself and showing the need. I need the house of God. I need to be a part of the family of God. We sang this morning, we're a part of the family of God. I need a church and a congregation that I am a part of, I belong to, I feel wanted, I feel needed, I feel appreciated, I can bond to, and that strengthens me, fortifies me, I'm on an even ground, I'm anchored in the love of Jesus and the love of the brethren, and I stand firm and clear and in the congregation, and then because of that, I will bless the Lord. My life will bless the Lord. I have confidence. David knows, and you and I can know that the confidence that we have when we stand on the even ground, bonded in the congregation of God, fellow believers that love each other, and they'll put their arm around me and tell me they love me. And if they see something in my life that maybe isn't, they'll say, "Brother, do you realize?" And then I hear them because they love me and they love God and I love them. So I can hear from them, and that fortifies me and keeps me on the even ground. See, otherwise we stray away from the congregation, and you know then the wolves. The wolves come after the sheep that stray from the flock. The wolf can come in and, "Got him, I got him," and take it away. Don't you be one of those that are away. Stay in with the congregation of God. And if a wolf comes, you have help, other brothers and sisters, to grab you and hold you there for the glory of God. May God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word, the loving message that you printed on the page and preserved down through the years for us here at Bradford this morning. It's so special, Lord, to have your word before us. And it's just as special to have your Holy Spirit within our heart and your Holy Spirit to be in our service. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Bless this congregation in a special way. As they have been shining for you, blooming for you where they're planted, and as they stay anchored and bloom today and bloom in the future for what you have for them, in thy name we pray. Amen. Kevin?